comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth, thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, that's a guarantee. I'm here because it matters, and so do you. If you're joining us for the very first time, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you. Hope you make a habit out of it. Real quick, several quick announcements. First of all, if you haven't subscribed to the K-Files e-zine, become a genius tonight by going to my website, and that's at kevinsmithshow.com, and click on the button that says K-Files e-zine and subscribe. It's free, and you can unsubscribe anytime you want to. I get quite a number of requests for people saying, you know, could you tell me what was, you know, what's the web address, the URL for the guest? And some of those requests come in during the show. I don't see those till after the show. And but look, if the guest has provided us with a URL, all you have to do is click on their picture. I know it's astoundingly simple, and it's not doesn't have a lot of flair and a lot of flash, but if you just click their picture on my website, it'll take you to their website. Now, if you don't believe me, my guest this evening is Devara Thunderbeat. If you click on her picture, it will take you to her website. If you click on a guest picture and it doesn't take you to a website, it's because they didn't provide us with that information. Okay? So if they have provided us with information, we have it linked. Don't forget that we have a little contest going on for the Kevi Knights. The Kevi Knights is a voluntary organization of people who just want to help the show. And they help promote the show through some very easy-to-do, simple things they never even have to think about. Think about it once, and then they don't have to think about it again. It's very simple, but it really works. But we're looking for a logo for the Kevi Knights. A logo is a symbol. It's not an ad. It's a symbol. And that symbol comes to represent the organization, and we want to use that logo on some ball caps, t-shirts, coffee mugs, etc. And this contest is running through the end of September, so if you have some graphic arts abilities, then put it to the test. And so you, maybe you got some great ideas for what would be a good logo for the Kevi Knights. Attach it to an email, send it to me, and I will put it into the contest. On the last day of this month, on the last show of September, we will announce the winner, and we will show everyone the logo, okay? So we've got a few that have sent some entries, and there's time for you to send yours. Again, all you do is create it, attach it to an email, and send it to me. We'll be back on the other side of this break with Thunderbeat. Thank you. welcome back. My guest this evening is really a cool person, and I do not exaggerate that. I had the chance to meet Thunderbeat when I was a speaker at the conference in Sedona back in May, the Ed Grimsley UFO Skywatch Conference. And between speakers, between the conference speakers, she would play her music. She performed her music. And I had a chance to sit down with her and talk with her for a few minutes. And really, really found her to be a fascinating individual. Let me tell you a little bit about her, and then we'll bring her online where you can get to know her yourself. She's Native American of Choctaw and Shawnee heritage. She is an international recording artist and performer. She studied music at the prestigious Eastman School of Music. She's also studied with the ritualistic drummer Lane Redman, and for years has been performing with the Mayan shaman Jose Arguelles. And that name I am pretty sure you're familiar with. This is the person who is responsible for you knowing about 2012. In 2005, she was nominated for 5 American Music, Native American Music Awards and won Best World and New Age Recordings. She's just a phenomenal individual. Thunderbeat, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
Hello, Kevin. Hi.
It's good to have you with us. You know, I had talked with you at the conference about you being on the show with me. I then lost your contact information because I'm an old guy and I forget where I put stuff. And then I got an email from you about workshops that you were doing. We'll talk about those some tonight. But we kind of got reconnected then, and here you are, and I'm glad you're with us.
Well, thanks for contacting me. I was, you know, totally looking forward to being on your show anyway.
Well, we have someone making an unauthorized call and interrupting the show. But anyway, I'll try to stay on top of that. If they call back in, I'll click ignore once more. It's frustrating, isn't it, folks, when you get put on ignore? But if you call this line, you will be put on ignore. Okay, we have a call-in line, and this isn't it. Let's just start out with a couple of things about you. You are, without question, an internationally renowned musician. And people that are into Native American music, or if they're into New Age music, they know you. They know Thunderbeat. What they may or may not know about you is that you're also a shaman. Your website says shamaness. I think either is appropriate, but the question here is this. Does the music stem from you being a shaman, or did becoming a shaman grow out of the music? What came first here, the chicken or the egg?
Well, I don't know. I've been following and her on a spiritual path pretty much all my life, and I work with spirit. I tune in, and how I receive my music is I do go to sacred sites. I've been to the Mayan lands many times, and I've been to Egypt, and it's kind of where spirit guides me. And I walk into the temples alone, and I ask the questions of the ancient knowledge of healing and the ancient music. So I receive it. I hear it. I actually hear it. They give me different information, tons of information. My Mayan CD is the one that, Mayan Landing 2012, is the one that went won 2 Native American Music Awards. And when I was down in the temples, they actually... I asked for the music, but they gave me activational tones. This is what they said. These are galactic activational tones, and this brings you into higher consciousness states. This is what the guides down there, I guess, spirit guides, told me. and they played them. They actually showed me the instruments. I get visions, and they showed me the ancient instruments, and a lot of the sounds were like bong 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 bong, very hypnotic. So they are on my Mayan CD, and of course I'm a drummer. That's my main instrument is drums, but I compose on keyboards, and you know, arrange on doing all the layers of my CDs. And
let me interject here. When I saw you perform, you were going back and forth between keyboards and drums.
Correct.
And I thought, see, I play keyboards, and I thought, you know, that's pretty amazing. You know, you were on drums, you were doing some really incredible stuff with the drums, and then back on the keyboards, and it all sounded so integrated.
Yeah, they keyboards are considered a percussion instrument.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know that, but they are. I tried playing guitar when I was very young. It just was not for me. I just can't do that string thing. But keyboards are very percussion oriented, so it was very easy for me because my really you know, my main instrument, like I said, I've been playing for over 30 some odd years, full drum sets, hand drums, you name it, on all kinds of drums. But the that's kind of like the information from your question of being a shaman. To me, a shaman means, and I said shamanist on my website because a lot of people think Thunderbeat. If they don't know me, they think it's a male because it is very a powerful name, and and I'm a female, so I stress that and spelling it that way, shamanist. But what a shaman means to me is. Really walking the path, working for the people and the planet. You know, your whole life. This is my mission, is helping the masses wake up, higher consciousness states of awakening. And that's what a shaman is walking and is a helper for the planet and the people, and working it that way. So.
All right, now, you mentioned activational tones, and this is pretty interesting because a lot of our audience have been with me for a long time. And let me say, for those of you who are just now finding us, thank you, and I'm glad you did. But we've been here now for 9 years, and so a lot of the audience has been with me now for a long time, and they have heard Jerry Wills talk about going to the doorway, and I never can say it right, but it's something like the doorway at Aramuru down in Peru. And he was given by a shaman activational tones for that doorway.
Really?
And he has used them and has been through that doorway, which is a dimensional, this is my characterization of it, a dimensional portal. And others who have been with him to this doorway, he gave them the tones. And I have personally talked with three who activated the doorway and went through the doorway. And they described for me what they saw. Very, very interesting. But it was activational tones. And
it's not funny, but I mean, a friend of mine, Aluna Joy, she does the Peruvian tours, and she showed me some pictures. I haven't been there yet, but I will be there one of these days. Actually, I was invited to go in December with another shaman, Jade Wahoo. But she showed me a picture of that doorway, and she's just showing me pictures, and I went, "What is that?" I go, "That is from Atlantis," I said. She goes, "Oh, that's a dimensional doorway." And I said, "I recognize that from a past. You know, a past life. I totally, you know, believe in past lives." And I go, "That is Atlantean. That's an Atlantean doorway," I said. And she said, "Wow, interesting. I never thought of it that way." She goes, "But it is called a dimensional doorway. And the activational tones brings you into this higher consciousness states of awareness so you can see other dimensional realms." That's the best way I can put it. So that's what those activational tones, when you go through the doorway, so you can see, because you can go through that doorway and see nothing, but you need to be activated to see the other dimensional realms. And this is what I do in my music. It's you take the journey, And you know, they, like I said, on the Mayan CD, they gave me the activational tones, and they were, and then the lots. It's very tribal. It's very tribal. Lots of drumming, and it really, I mean, sometimes I can't even listen to it when I drive because I'll lose my, I miss my exit. You know what I mean?
Well, now let's go back to the conference where I met you. And I'm going to say something that I haven't said ever, haven't even talked about this before, and I think you'll connect with this. This conference had some side issues that created quite a bit of tension, even among people that were attending the conference. And it was actually pretty high tension, very high tension. And then you would go on stage and start playing the music, and I could watch. I could see physiological changes that indicated people were de-stressing and relaxing. And it was amazing to watch that. And really, I credit your music with sort of the glue that held things together for this conference.
Well, thank you, Kevin. I'm glad you are aware of that because it is, it is healing music. It's healing, activational. It relieves stress, anxieties. It gets you into your own personal power. You know, every CD I have is a different journey, but it pretty much does all that in each one of them.
I want to get into sound healing in just a moment and sort of dwell there for a bit, but before we do that, because you mentioned these activational tones, and because Jerry Wills has talked about those on this show, so our audience is somewhat familiar with this term, let me bring up the fact that you've been performing for years now with Mayan shaman Jose Arguelles. And he's the person that put 2012 on the map by bringing it to the attention of the Western world that this is something from the Mayan calendar.
Right.
How have his teachings about 2012 impacted you over the years, if at all? And how has it affected your music?
His messages. I actually put a conference together. We're like buddies, you know. He invited me to Ashland, where he was living up in Oregon, and I did a 3-day conference with him and Jerry, James Twyman and Neil Donald Walsh, and I got to do, you know, the activational concert, and he was like, I love your music, you know, I'm so proud of you. I said, well, I'm going to bring you to Sedona one of these days, and two years later, we did, and you know, I've known, you know, about Jose for, I don't even know, ever since I was 15 or something like that, but I was very honored to bring him here, and him, very honored for him to call me and said, I love your CD, can you come and play and perform at this, you know, international conference? So that's how we became very good friends, was from my Mayan CD, 2012, Mayan Landing 2012, and when I brought him here, his message is very simple. And it's just getting back to nature, getting back to, you know, utilizing the earth in a natural way instead of everyone using chemicals and preservatives and all these, you know, prescription drugs that are unnecessary. You know, I'm a herbologist for the last 15 years, and I have cured so many people naturally for like $3 compared to, you know, $30,000 from the hospital. You know what I mean? And it just knowing, you know, studying your herbs, you know, getting back to nature. This is his message for the 2012 and getting back, you know, to truth. And when you get more back to the truth of things, then, and being real, then you're yourself, and you don't have to lie and it opens your awareness and expansion of you know, a true reality, you know. So, and I just want to say that music is the universal language. It is totally universal, so people can relate to that. So,
you know, my wife my wife is Thai. She's from Thailand. And I am pretty much in love with Thai music, and which is a good thing. And I was before I met her, but it's a good thing because she was a professional singer in Thailand when we met. And but I like Thai music, and here in this country, a lot of people will call that Oriental music. Let me give you a clue, folks. Don't use the word Oriental. That is like using the N-word. They are Asian. But Asian music is pentatonic. Ours is octatonic. Right. Western music, and theirs is pentatonic. Means it has five tones in the scale. And that's why it sounds as it does. Native American music very often goes pentatonic. And very often sounds very similar to Asian music.
Really?
Yeah.
There are
certain places in when you listen to Native American music, there will be certain places where they do, I'll use a musician's term, they'll do a riff that's a pentatonic. It's not the same as the pentatonic scale, but it's five tones repeated in a riff.
Right. Well, I did my latest CD is Egyptian, and that has a Middle Eastern scale, and it's totally... you know, a totally different, you know, feel, and, you know, they have the whole different scale than what we use here, and I think I picked that one up faster than anything. I was like, I was just very in tune with it. I love it. I went to Egypt last year, and I got back, and I channeled in the sun god Ra, and he just gave me all these beautiful ancient melody lines. He'd wake me up at 1 o'clock in the morning, and I would have my recording studio at my house, so I can go like across the hallway and go into my recording studio at any time. I'm blessed that way. And at 1 o'clock in the morning, for like 3 months, would wake me up with all these melody lines. So I'd go and record them. And that was it's a whole journey. And that one actually activates your third eye. And it's really good for activating your third eye, which the Egyptians were really in tune with, and that's why you see like the eye of Horus or the eye of Ra. That was their third eye and their awareness.
All right, we have to step away for a couple of minutes here for a break. When we come back, you're talking about your studio at home. Let's talk about your home and where you live. It's a pretty amazing place as well. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back. My guest this evening, Thunderbeat. And when we went away for break, you had mentioned that your studio is at home and you can just go across the hall and record your music. And that's a good thing. But now let me ask you something. Don't you live in Sedona?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Now, Sedona, Arizona has long held a reputation for being a sort of otherworldly sort of place. As a resident of Sedona, I want to get your perspective on this. What sort of phenomena exist in Sedona that gives it that reputation? And then after you tell us about that, I'd like to know, okay, why Sedona?
Well, first of all, it's a very, very magical place. I've walked the land. I've been more creative here than I've ever been anywhere for writing. I've been here for over 10 years, about 10 years actually, and it's just incredibly magical. Especially if you walk on the land, they have the red rocks. They're breathtaking. They talk about the vortexes, which are portals, and they're all over the place. They're you know, just about everywhere you walk is that there's portals in it, and it they're called male or female, and what that means, male portals are out, and they go out to the universe like little dimensional doorways, and females goes into the earth. That's what they kind of relate them to male and female, in and out. So, I've had very magical experiences here, and this place is so ancient. There's so thousands and thousands of years ago, there has been a community here that no one knows about. I mean, I've seen visions of when there was water here, and actually ancient I call them flying machines. I seen them, they were floating in the air, and I said, oh my God, look at that. And that related to when I read something in the early 80s with Ruth Montgomery. She had a book, and she talked about Atlantis, and she said they had these flying machines that were with woven baskets that were floating in the air. And then that is exactly what I saw here. And they have a lot of sphinxes, very Egyptian. I'm going to be doing a whole picture series that's going to be coming out next year with the lion sphinxes. They have Native American sphinxes and birds that are like whole sides of mountains that are birds. It's incredible. And I'm going to be showing that to the world because it hasn't been done yet. And I'm a rock hound. I used to have a crystal store for 9 years myself, and I just love rocks. So I can see the faces in the rocks, and they're just amazing. And so I am going to be doing that series in a book. So.
Okay, why Sedona? Why are all these vortices in Sedona? Why are they not in Fort Worth?
Well, I don't know. Well, there's vortexes all around the world. I mean, they're just more abundant here, and I don't know. It's if anybody knows about Sedona, it's like, let's say a 30-mile radius of, not even, maybe, yeah, well, about 30-mile radius, and it's, you drive, 2 hours from any direction, there's nothingness, and all of a sudden, this different world, like almost like a different planet, is here. I have no idea. Maybe it was dropped here. I don't know. I don't have that answer, but it is a very magical place, and if anybody hasn't seen it, you should go online and see some pictures, how breathtaking it is. It's really beautiful.
Do you know Jeff Woolline?
I don't.
Jeff Woolline is a pretty amazing individual. And he started out as a UFO investigator, researcher, and just videotaping things in the skies above Phoenix, which we have a lot of those all the time. But in his research, he found that a whole bunch of these things in the sky were coming from the direction of South Mountain. So he started researching South Mountain, and what he found, it's pretty incredible. South Mountain is just loaded with ancient petroglyphs. But one of the things that he found and the conclusion that he's come to, I want to share with you. And I'd like to get just your opinion about this. All over the world, when you find these ancient petroglyphs, one symbol that seems pretty universal, you'll see these spirals that are carved into the rock. It's just like a snake coiled up, but it's a spiral. And some of them, the end of the spiral ends pointing up toward the sky. Some of them, it ends pointed down toward the ground. He says that the conclusion he's come to is those are marking portals. And the ones that point to the sky are pointing to a portal out to the universe. And it's marking that here is a portal that goes out to the universe. And if it points to the ground, this is a portal into the ground, into the earth. Now, I don't know if I may be sort of blindsiding you with that, but does that connect with anything that you know about?
Well, like I was mentioning before, yes, some people call them male and female, as in like yin and yang. You know, there's the female portals are spiral to the left, and they're portals that go inside the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ones that spiral to the right are the males that portal out to the universe.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's definitely, you know, the one goes in and one goes out.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And, there, you know, and you're right, there are spirals, ancient spirals, like in Ireland and all over the world, actually in Egypt and in the Mayan lands, I'm sure, in Peru. It's a universal symbol. And just to add another information onto that, I was just thinking, you know, I'm a Reiki master, and when I what they teach you in Reiki, I think it's, I don't know, the second or third degree, but to activate your healing hands, you draw a spiral 3 times on your hand, and it activates the healing energy. So that's another added information to kind of think about. So.
Yeah, and that brings us back to sound healing. Tell us a little bit about that. What is sound healing?
Sound healing is basically each note, let's just say the 440 scale, the A, B, C, D, E, F, G, that each note activates a certain part of your body. For instance, example, the key of A. The key of A activates your third eye. The key of F activates your heart. I call them the chakra centers. So I have a chakra journey series. It's called that's total activation. It's not even songs. It's total activation. It's a time for 1 hour, and it's 7 minutes in each chakra with that key and the activational tone, I call it. So what that does when you take that whole journey, it activates all your 7 chakras. And seven magical number 7. It's actually a very sacred number. And you're actually, what happens, you release old, what happens with that journey, you release old issues, negative programming, stuff that doesn't serve you anymore, even stuff from childhood stuff comes up, and you release it all. And then you're opening up all your centers of awareness. The chakras are centers of awareness. And your whole being is expanded. I've had testimonies that people can, their eyesight has sharpened, they can hear better, their colors are more vivid. I actually have major testimonies that I have released pain that people had for years. You know, insomnia. It's just the sound. It's really the sound healing. But I utilize it with you know, a chakra series. I do that. I'm teaching chakra sound healing classes, but it's knowing what each key and how to utilize that, can relieve all kinds of symptoms.
I want to make sure that people understand something, and I think a lot of people already do understand this. But you brought it up. You were talking about using the scale, the 440 scale.
Yes.
What some people may not realize, they do, but they haven't really thought about this. A sound is not just a sound. A sound is what's happening to the airwaves at a certain frequency. And so when you say 440, this is a reference to a device that's used in music for tuning, okay? The device is letter or the key A vibrating at 440 times per second. Okay, so that's how do you tune an orchestra? You tune it to A 440. Now, back in the days of Beethoven, they were at about 360, but now it's 440. So A 440. 440 is the same thing as the note you get when you play A. So you can say play A, or you can say play 440. It's the same thing. All right. So when you play a note and create a sound, what you are doing is you're emitting frequency.
Absolutely.
And it's my understanding is that, and I use this word loosely here, the magic is in the frequencies. The work is done by the frequencies that are being emitted. And it's not just that it's a sound that you're hearing, it's the frequencies.
Absolutely.
So that's accurate?
Absolutely.
Oh,
yeah,
good. I passed my test.
It's a sound wave, and it's activating.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like when some people hear like a sad song, they start crying. That's activating a certain area of your body. It probably usually sometimes it's a C or a D or E. E is very emotional areas. You know, C, D, and E are very emotional, where you store a lot of your emotions. So a lot of the times the sad songs that actually make people cry are usually in those keys. And that's what triggered my studies of this. It's like that just fascinated me, like in the early 90s, actually, you know, late 80s, where I noticed all these effects, you know, how music affects people. And that's what got me started into the sound healing and just doing my own research.
All right, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back on the other side, more with Thunderbeat. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Now, you know, it's pretty interesting, Thunderbeat. I was just thinking about this during the break. Pretty interesting that, there are people who just sort of really poo-poo this whole thing about frequencies. And, you know, they'll say, oh, that's all New Age nonsense, that's woo-woo, that's, you know. And yet, medical science is using both light and sound frequencies to do healing in hospitals now.
Yes, they are. Just, even like ultrasound, you know, for checking your baby, that's using sound frequencies to see a picture.
Yeah. Well, and there are other things they do. There are dental treatments that are all sonic. There are treatments for the heart that are sonic, and they are beginning to get into the use of infrared light for deep wound healing and so forth. And so that's all about frequency. That's what that is. All right. Now I want to ask you something that we sort of talked about kind of on the side a little bit at the conference. Have you ever encountered what we would consider extraterrestrials?
Yes. I have many stories on that one. That could be about two shows.
No. Well, let's compact it down into sort of give us a thumbnail of your encounters with extraterrestrials.
Well, I had my first one was when I was 4 years old. I was taken up, actually me and my mother were taken up into a ship in broad daylight, and I was playing in my driveway, and the ship actually cloaked itself. It had, when I was going up in the middle of the ship, I remember there was steam around it, so it obviously was cloaking itself as with like a cloud. And they took me up, and I remember there was three colors. There was the three primary colors on the bottom of the ship was blue, yellow, and red. My mother came running out and trying to get me because I was up in the air, and then they took her too. And then that's all I remembered, except for coming back. When they brought me back, I was floating in the air in slow motion. Total slow motion, and I was going to hit my head on the driveway, and I said, "Oh my God, I'm going to hurt myself." I'm in midair here, thinking this. I remember this so clearly at 4 years old, and I said, "I need to land on my hands." And as soon as I thought that, I twisted around and landed on my hands, and there was a cat there. And I guess I came out of nowhere because I scared the hell out of the cat. The cat just totally freaked out, and my mother comes running outside, going. She goes. She didn't call me Thunder. My name is Deborah. She goes, Deborah, where have you been? I've been looking for you for 2 hours. I go, I've been right here. So I had a regression on that with a lady named Dolores Cannon. Now, she is like the queen. She's like a 70-something-year-old lady. She is a queen of hypnotherapy, and she has actually many books on alien abduction. So I saw her at a conference, and I said, this is the woman that could help me with these, you know, trying to remember a lot of these situations I've been in. And so I had time for one session with her, and so I got only a few of my encounters where these ships actually follow me around. And my mother at times would tell me, she goes, they're here. I know we could like feel them. They're here. My mother would mention it, and they would download information to her and me. Incredible information.
All right. When you did the regression, were you able to, in the regression, were you able to recover memory of what the ship looked like and what they looked like?
I don't remember what the ship looked like because they had me in a chair, actually, not laying down, in a chair, and they had these wires up to me, and I'm not sure what they were doing, but they were doing actually some kind of healing on me. And they looked, I remember there was watchers to the left of me, one, two, three, maybe six or seven, like, different species. I know it sounds crazy, but that they were, like, observing what was going on, and there was this, like, this doctor, that's what I call him, and he was very gentle with me. I had no pain, but he looked, I wasn't in fear, but I couldn't move or anything like that, but he looked like very praying mantis. That's the best way I can describe him. And according to Dolores Cannon, when I had that regression, she said, you know, she's had other people talked about the praying mantis, that she said they're very high intelligent beings.
All right, and now you've had encounters with them many times throughout your life, right?
Yes.
Are you still having encounters with them?
Well, not as many. I had, I guess I had four implants in from four different species implanted, and they were driving me crazy. They were following me all over the place, all the time, waking me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. My house would be shaking. My light sockets would be going, blowing out. It was crazy. I said, you guys got to let me go. You know, I was not in fear. I said, you guys got to stop already. You know, just stop. So I found a shaman that could release the implants, and he did. And I don't feel him as much. They don't follow me around. I see him here and there once in a while, and I do feel him once in a while, but not like it was. It was really crazy. And that was after I was living in Florida. I had a lot of encounters there. And I think that's because I used to go to the beach at 1 o'clock in the morning with me and my dog and bring her down there because they wouldn't allow dogs, and she loved the water. She was a Labrador. And I'd stay to sunrise, and I had a lot of missing time. I mean, lots of missing time when I was down there. So at 1 o'clock in the morning, they would come and tell me, go to the beach, and they'd be in the clouds and tell me, like, you know, just go to the beach. And there's a lot of, like, for instance, missing time where I'd be there at 1, and then 30 minutes later, it's sunrise. I'm like, what happened? And I couldn't find my dog, you know? And finally, after about 30 minutes, I found the dog. She was so far away, and I never keep my eyes off of her. I'm like, how did she get way down there? And it's sunrise already. I don't know what just happened. But that would happen to me a lot. So there's other species after, I guess, I don't know why me, but I mean, they were, you know, they did, but I just know they do download information that I can't always remember, but sometimes the memory will come up of this, like, very, very, like, quantum physics kind of information. The molecular structure is this and that. It will come through, and I'm like, wow, how did I know all that? And I know they downloaded me this information, and it comes out at certain times when I guess I'm supposed to utilize it or something. I don't understand all of it,
mm-hmm.
You know, at this point, so...
Do you think that any of these experiences have had an impact on your music?
I think so. I think so. I can, you know, I really can tune in. I don't know. I really think so, you know.
Do you think it's a positive impact, or has it been in the way of your creativity?
Pardon?
Was it a positive impact, or was... did?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. It's totally positive. Yeah. My, actually, my first solo CD, now that I think about it, it's called Fly High. It was really about... It's most of my music is instrumental, so I don't really... But there is some lyrics on there about UFOs. And I've done it so long ago, I almost forgot about it. But I mean, it's totally cosmic CD. It has the cosmic sounds, the UFOs on there, and that was my cosmic journey for 5 years of living in Florida of my encounters. And when I got here, about 6 months later, I found the shaman to get rid of the UFO implants. But I know I've had contact after that. A few times, and I...
All right. Look, we have to step away for a break, and when we come back, we'll talk for a little bit, and then I want to open up the telephone lines for our audience. So if you've got questions or comments for Thunderbee, after this break, we'll open the phone lines. And welcome back. My guest this evening is Devara Thunderbeat. She is a world-renowned musician and award-winning musician, but also a shaman and a Reiki master and just a fascinating individual all the way around. Thunderbeat, how do you feel about taking some calls? You ready?
Absolutely. That's fun.
All right. The telephone lines are open, folks, and the telephone number is 623-444-5889. If you need to call me on the toll-free number, you can do so, and the number is 888-223-4599. As always, if you live outside the USA and you live outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message, and you do that by going over to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and scroll down. You'll see the link that says flash message. Just click that and send me your message with your comments or questions, and we'll read them on the air, provided that they are related to the show. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Hello.
Hi,
there.
Kevin.
Hello there, Angel Beat. Hello there. Angel, I wanted to...
No, it's Thunderbeat.
I like that, though. That was kind of neat. It's Thunderbeat, but I like Angel Beat. That's nice, too. I haven't been called that one.
Was it? Did I say Angel Beat?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, boy.
That's a good thing.
I went to a... I want to ask you a question. I asked a group of psychics when I went to a psychic fair here a few months ago, do you find that any areas where there's high levels of Wi-Fi technology, wireless technology, do you find that it has an effect on your ability to connect with these higher levels of consciousness? Like, does it affect your ability to connect to higher levels of consciousness with the electromagnetics and whatnot? Do you find that this that the EMF radiation has an effect on your abilities, negative or positive?
Well, I know I call them, I guess the micro towers for the cell phones are not good. They generate frequencies and waveforms that actually, lose your memory, any of those towers, any of those things I've noticed, I've studied that, they do definitely wipe out. Definitely, I notice your memory more than anything, and they actually make you tired. And so that's why, and cell phones, I guess, supposed to do the same thing, and which is the same frequency. And I'm not sure about the Wi-Fi. I know that the older computers did have an effect on me when I was using my computers, that they were very tiring and very draining. And then you could buy those special screens that would block some of that radiation, and it helped a lot. And then what I do now, what really works with right by my computer, because my studio is on the computer, is a salt lamp lit up. So you can buy them in like a crystal store or actually some of the even finer furniture stores. The salt lamp ionizes the frequency waves of the negative radiation or microwave energies, you know.
I was also told that the high seas or perhaps somewhere in the middle of a body of water would actually helps to heighten your awareness. Is there any truth to that?
I'm not familiar with that one. That's interesting. I'm not familiar with that.
It would be interesting since there's not as much electromagnetic radiation in those areas. I think it would help, you know. Thank you for answering my questions.
All right, Kevin, thanks for the call.
Bye, Kevin.
623-444-5889 is the number to call, or toll free 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Stefan from Quebec City.
Hello, Stefan.
Hello, Kevin. Thunderbeat. Hello, sister. I'm not sure
Hi.
What your age is, but I'm Plains Cree from Canada. I'm living in Quebec City, but originally from my reservation is in Saskatchewan.
Wow.
I'm a frequent listener to the Kevin Smith Show, but I'm wondering, Thunderbeat, what's your view towards the future as another Indigenous woman? Do you have the type of fear and paranoia that a lot of the people seem to have towards it, or are you more hopeful and optimistic?
No, I'm more positive. I'm so tired of the doom and gloom. I mean, that's ridiculous. What I've tuned into from the Mayans, from the Mayan spirits when I was down in the temples many times, they were saying it's a frequency shift. It's a dimensional shift into the fifth world. And we're going to be aligning in it. And there is a astrology alignment, a planet alignment, what's happening. We're going to be aligning and making lining up with the central sun, making a cosmic cross, which has not been done in over 26,000 years. And this is going to be allowing us to tune in to the other frequencies of the galaxy. So this is the information I received. So our awareness is going to be expanding. That's the shift. That is the shift. We've already had some earth changes when Bush was in office. And so any negativity, people can change the world with their energies and what they do. Like Bush in office, we were having all kinds of earth changes and major, record-breaking floods and hurricanes, and remember all that, and that was because of what his what he was doing, and if anybody notices, the day that Obama came in office, and plus sun flares, we had record breaking sun flares, radiation hitting our planet the whole time that Bush was in office. The day that Obama got elected, I never saw. A NASA actually site, it's called spaceweather.com, on the site that said, we've never seen the sun be so calm. So that's just a thought.
Are you saying then that because of all of the massive negativity that people were feeling and expressing that during the Bush years, that was helping to cause a lot of these massive disasters?
Absolutely. Mother Earth is a living being, as an indigenous shaman. She's a living being, and she's affected by the negativity, and she's, cleansing herself, of the negativity. And that's
Kevin,
how it... Pardon?
Oh, sorry. Been interject here. Just wanted to put a quick anecdote about what our elders say. Like our elders up in Saskatchewan and Ontario, they routinely cut rain and wind all the time when they need to cross the lake in their boats or even cross the blizzards on Skidoo across lakes. They just talk to weather. They can calm it. A lot of
That's
people
right.
don't know
it's
that.
It's a living being.
Yeah.
And so then, if we make ourselves by our thoughts, we make ourselves into something akin to a virus, then the earth goes to work to cleanse itself of the virus.
Correct.
Well, even Jesus
Absolutely.
Did the same thing, Kevin. Like, I mean, remember when the fisherman went out on the water and he talked to the water to, I think it was to calm a storm or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And then also to put all those fish inside that net.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think he just came to show us the way, you know. But anyways, great show and Thunderbeat. I look forward to hearing your music. Thanks, Kevin.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call. And we would love to hear from you, whoever you are, wherever you are. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. Or toll free, 888-223-4599. And Stefan said, I look forward to hearing your music. If you click on her picture on my website, it will take you to her website, and there's some music there that you can listen to. And you can purchase the CDs from there, too. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, it's Debbie from Columbus.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Hello, Thunderbeat. How are you doing?
Hi. Great.
Hi. The music is really great. I've been using it when I've been working with clients, you know, doing Reiki and healing. And it really gets them relaxed and really gets them just mellowed out. So everything goes pretty well with them. So I just wanted
That's
to say
great.
Thank you with that.
Debbie, I have a question for you.
Yes, Kevin.
You were at the conference. Did
yes,
you get
sir,
a chance to see Thunderbeat perform?
Oh, I did.
Okay. Did you notice?
She can.
Did you notice what I was talking about? That all that tension and stress seemed to just drain away when she would start playing?
You know what? I didn't have any tension or stress. I never do at conferences like that because I'm just very energized by being around like-minded brothers and sisters. So I don't get stressed at that at conventions like that, conferences. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think Thunderbeat can tell you. I was down front with, you know, quite a few other gals up on stage dancing and just, you know, grooving to the music. I think she can tell you that.
That was a lot
but,
of fun.
I was. Oh, it was. It was wonderful. I had such a great time. And you know, to me, dance is one of the important things because you're not only expressing how you feel, but you're also, it's kind of like a form of giving thanks, not only to the one who is, such as yourself, who is providing the very beautiful melodies, but it's also a prayer of thanksgiving to the Creator and all of creation. That's how I look at it.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah, I didn't want to be up there alone, so I told everybody, come up and dance, hang out with me out here. I had that, oh, I'm all by myself on the stage, and I'm like, come on up, just come up and dance, you know. It's
so
much
fun.
Did
you notice that it was mostly women who got up?
I think, absolutely.
I recall seeing one of the fellows get up to dance.
I don't remember. Kevin, you should have got
up
there
and
danced.
I have to admit, I wasn't in the auditorium when this event that you're talking about happened. I must have been interviewing someone outside. But let me tell you this about men, and you ladies need to know this, if you don't know this already. Men bark and growl, and they'll even fight. But you shove a microphone or a camera in front of them, they turn to a puddle of water and run for the door. Absolute cowards.
Yeah. Well, Thunderbeat, I definitely want to try to get to Sedona sometime this year. You know, and you know how it is, the economy the way it is. Money's just really tight, and I'm trying to get my business up and running. But I definitely will be back into the beautiful Red Valley because I really didn't want to come back to Columbus. I mean, I had not only the conference was fun, but I mean, and in addition to meeting you also and being interviewed by Kevin, but there's just, like you said, there is just something about the Sedona area that the energy there is so much different than it is out here in the Midwest or
absolutely.
Any other place in the country that I've been. Yeah, so
yeah, it's
I definitely
got to
get back there.
Okay, Debbie, thanks for the call.
Maybe you can come for one of my workshops that I'm featuring. I'm teaching a three-day retreat workshop of chakra sound healing and how to utilize sound to heal yourself. So,
when is that workshop going to be, Thunderbeat?
I'm sorry?
When will that be?
Actually, I have two dates left this year. Let's see, October 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, and November 13th, 14th, and 15th. And the October one, that one's going to be the full moon, so we're going to be doing a full moon drumming ceremony out on the Red Rocks in the evening. It's just breathtaking when that moon comes up over the Red Rocks and the sun is setting on the other side. But that all includes a vortex experience and ceremony, a healer certificate. I mean, there's a lot of really great things that if you want to go to my website, just click on workshops. It gives you the whole outline of what's going to be happening. And actually, that includes meals, three meals a day, and fun, and you get healed yourself and totally pampered and a lot of great information.
All right, Debbie, thanks for the call. The telephone number is 623-444-5889 or toll-free 888-223-4599. If you're outside the USA and you're outside of Canada, go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down, and click the link that says Flash Message. Now, from anywhere in the world, if you want to call 623-444-5889, it works. Okay, you can get me on the telephone no matter from where. We've had people call us from Taiwan. I've had people call us from Ireland, from South Africa, and from Germany, and, you know, all over the world. But if you don't want to make the international long-distance call, you can send me the Flash Message. We've got one here, Carl in Australia. It says, this is Carl in Perth. You spoke of activation tones. In the house in Perth where I grew up, many interesting things occurred that seemed to involve ghost cats, apparitions of myself when I wasn't home, witnessed by family members. My brother seeing what he called a cockeyed roach staring through his bedroom window at night. His description would in later years remind me of the Greys. And there was a hum and a vibration that we could feel and barely hear at one point in the house. We checked out the wires and could not find any reason for this hum. We went into the loft and examined the spaces between the walls. Still no clue. Do such hums or vibrations strike a chord? No pun intended. To this day, Mum and I still remember it and chat late into the balmy nights about it. What do you think?
Yeah, I used to tell people about the hum. I started hearing it really strong down in Florida, and that is the harp. It's the harp system. If you ever heard of that,
mm-hmm.
It's man-made, and it's a frequency wave. And I have actually got the key of it. I could hear it. A lot of people could feel it more than hear it. Like this hum that goes across. You know, you don't know where it's coming from. And I've had my hearing tested, and I can hear three frequencies higher than most people, and three frequencies lower. And I actually freaked the doctors out, but I could hear this hum, and I got the key of these, what the key they're using, which is a low D, which is your second chakra, which is it totally wipes out your energy, your creative abilities. You can't sleep at night. You wake up totally exhausted. It actually messes with your memory, and it keeps your vibration level down of and your awareness. It keeps it at a low vibration. And I've been telling people about these hums for forever, and they were going, "What are you talking about? I don't hear anything. I don't hear anything." And then every once in a while, I would hear, you know, find one person that could hear it, mm-hmm. what I'm talking about. And I've been, you know, hearing that since 93 or 4, where it came into the existence. And then the only thing that cured me was my own Chakra Journey CD. I mean, it raises your frequency level. It cuts out that whole low vibration. And it, like I said, it raises your awareness. And it's very damaging. I hear it here once in a while in Sedona, and it's a key of D. And then the one, there was a big one they talked about, in Taos, New Mexico?
Yeah.
People couldn't find the hum. They were searching. They were digging the land. And I was there actually doing a recording session in Taos, and I heard the hum there, and I had my keyboard with me. And the hum there is in the key of E. It was and it was loud. It was really, really loud. And I said, the key of E is going to mess with your personal power, your personal, your personal strength, you know, who you are as a being. That's what that does. When any kind of consistent frequency, it's just going to blast you just in that one area. It cancels out everything of your body, everything else of your body. And I've been talking about that to a lot of people, and they didn't know what I was talking about. And I found out it's the HARP system that they have. It's some mechanical device that they have them all over. They don't just have them, you know, in one or two places, but they do have them all over.
All right, let's go back to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, Kevin.
Uh-huh.
This is Victoria, and I'm calling from Washington State. Hello, Thunderbeat. Great to talk
to
you.
Hi, Victoria.
Hi. Listen, I bet you don't know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. I'm a Reiki master and a teacher and a healing touch practitioner, so I know quite a bit about healing, but about 6 years ago, I had an accident, and ever since then, I've had what's called post-traumatic stress disorder, and I cannot uh-huh. get rid of it. It just has wrecked my life, and I can't. All the healing work that I've done in the past on others, I can't do it on myself. And I was wondering
right.
if there are any of your CDs or music's recordings that you could recommend that would maybe address that and help heal it, or is there anything specific, or have
yes.
you ever studied that?
Absolutely. I think the Chakra Journey CD, you could actually play it at night while you're sleeping, and, you know, just put it on repeat. It totally goes through your whole body and heals and raises your frequency and gets rid of old stuff. I totally, you know, you could play it in your house and it removes negative energy just like pretty much instantly. Try that. You can, like I said, it's very gentle. It's very peaceful, so you can go to sleep to it. It will cure insomnia. You know, and I, you know, try that, and you can always. I would like your testimony on how that works for you. You know, so I can
yeah.
add you to my list of great
well,
things. You know,
well,
miraculous
things. I know a lot of people are coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, with a lot of that. And I know there are a lot of people, you know, police officers and people that work, you know, in emergency and type of, you know, that type of career.
System.
They will eventually, you know, come down with that too. And I was wondering if you have ever looked into it, and if you haven't, if you could specifically focus on what would really zero in and target that specific malady, or you know, it's a definite imbalance. And no matter what I do, you know, in terms of my self-healing and working with chakras and you know, trying to ground and balance myself, one little thing goes off, and you know, the PTSD just skyrockets. The chemistry with that just, you know, goes off the charts for me. And I don't want to take drugs. And
no,
I don't want to...
I'm telling you, try... I just try the Chakra Journey CD. I'm telling you, I really... I'm tuning in that it's going to really help a lot. You know?
Okay.
And then... do you think that I have a question? Are you having are you stressing out, like lots of anxiety?
Oh, lots, yeah.
Okay, and you can try. There's the two ones that work really well for that. Is the Cosmic Dreams. The Cosmic Dream is it's like an ambient space CD, and that one actually takes you higher than the Chakra CD. Chakra CD brings you up to your crown chakra, the highest.
Okay, I hate to do it, but ladies, we have to step away for a break. It's taking over. Thunderbeat, if you'll address this when we come back from break. Victoria, thanks for the call. Be sure you're listening, and she'll finish talking about this on the other side of the break. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. The telephone number is 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. And Thunderbeat, I had to cut you off in mid-sentence there. You were talking with Victoria about PTSD and resolution of that and resolution of anxieties. I want to give you the chance to finish.
Yeah, I was telling Victoria about the Cosmic Dream CD. It goes beyond the Chakra Journey CD. It really raises your frequency very high. Because anything negative lives in a lower frequency. Any negative energy or any disease that you know, even cancer, it's a very low frequency disease. So when you raise your vibration to a higher level, the disease cannot live in it. And any negative energies can't live there. They just can't. They can't survive in it. They don't like it. They won't be there. So it rids it that way. That's the best way I can explain it. You know, for the people at war, I hate to say, I think a lot of them have been chipped. You know, they take all these shots before they go over to you know, other countries, and I really feel that they have some kind of chips in them, which I don't know how to release the chips. I've been asked that just recently, and I'm going to start doing some research on that because it is possible to somehow remove them. So.
Okay, Carl in Australia has sent me another flash message. And it goes along with what you were saying about lower frequencies cause a disruption of positive energies. But it says, Carl's message to me says, yes, if I recall, nothing much strange happened after the hum was noticed. Very interesting point.
Say that last sentence again.
Very interesting point. After Carl's the one that wrote and talked about the hum that was in his house.
Right.
And he says, after they noticed this hum, they didn't notice any other strange phenomena happening in the house as they had before.
Okay, so you're saying it, the hum kind of rid of the energies, or?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So... I think that hum was a different hum than I was talking about anyway. I think that could have been from the ship itself, because when the ships would used to come with me, they would vibrate and hum the whole house. It would just, like, be vibrating and that would be happening. Anyway. That might be the case in his situation there.
Hmm. All right. The telephone lines are open at present, so if you have a question or a comment for Thunderbeat, this would be the time. you would be able to get in right now. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. You know, when we were talking about that doorway and you said that you saw a picture of it and immediately you said it was Atlantean?
Yes. I said, what is that door? What is that doing there? I go, that's Atlantean. That's exact words I said to her. I go, what is that doing there? That's Atlantean.
Well, you know, the story that the native people tell related to that is that, and up on top of that doorway, there is a carved statue of a woman laying on her back looking up into the stars. And it's all carved out of the same piece of rock.
Uh-huh.
And the story that they tell is that this was the king of Lemuria.
Really?
That came there and established civilization there. And built this doorway, and that is his wife. Is it possible that because Lemuria and Atlantis are very, very similar, different locations, but very similar, is it possible that they were using the same kind of technology as the Atlanteans?
Absolutely. The Lemurians were more etheric. And they came in before the Atlanteans, but they were actually living the same time the Atlanteans came in, towards the end of their civilization. And they were more etheric, where the Atlanteans were more physical. And so they could have passed that technology over to the Atlanteans, or yeah, I'm sure they worked together. As I've heard, they did work together, you know, at some period of time.
And what's the origin of the Lemurians? Where did they come from?
They're more Pacific, as far as I know. Pacific, and their island was destroyed, just like Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
And they.
But did they come?
Found remnants of Atlantis, like in many, many places, like around. Of course, people know about with Edgar Casey talking about the Bimini, and all up on that coast of Florida. And some of the Mayan temples is I totally picked up this one temple. It's prior Mayan. They don't know who built it, but it was prior Mayan called Edzna. And when I went there, it's called the Temple of the Sun. And I went there, and I had some extremely, incredibly beautiful, magical experiences. And they had an ancient sound healing light chamber there. It was very ancient, and they showed me how they used it. That activational tone was going, and the lights were going around, and they were showing me all this picture. And then I kind of guided by spirit, well, kinda I am, by, and I actually asked the questions, and then I was in this pyramid, and there's a chamber to the right and the chamber to the left. In the doorway, there's an embedded circle of stone that lines up with the sun, with the sun equinoxes, that's the sun kind of goes into that doorway. And so the right chamber, when I went into that right chamber, I instantly felt like I was being pulled up, instantly. And when I went to the chamber to the left, I instantly felt like I was being pulled down. So that was right in the middle is the alignment where, like, you connect with heaven and earth, I would call it, you know. And then the spirit said to me, go down to the side of the temple. So I went down to the side of the temple. There's not a cloud in the sky. I look up, and there's a rainbow came down, hit the top of the pyramid, and the whole thing turned into a golden glow. And it was like this golden city of light. And I went, oh, my God, that's Atlantis, I said. But it's, you know, more of the Pacific. But like I said before, Atlanteans were more physical than Lemurians were more etheric.
All right. Now, when you say that the Lemurians were more etheric, are you talking about their outlook on things, or are you saying that they are not physical
bodies,
beings?
Their energy bodies were more, they weren't as physical. They were actually more ethereal, more energy bodies, more than actual physical bodies.
And yet, if I were to be confronted with a Lemurian, I would be able to see this Lemurian?
Yeah, they're denser than, like, a, let's say, spirit form. You know, spirit, we can't see that dimension right now, but they're more, a little bit denser than that, where you can see them. But they would look like, they would look like beings, of, like they would be floating, you know,
uh-huh.
And you could actually see their whole presence, but you could actually slide your hand through them at the same time.
Ooh, now that's strange. That's strange.
That's strange.
Yeah.
Nothing's strange to me anymore.
Have you ever run into, in any place that you've been, have you run into any surviving Lemurians?
I'm trying to think. I don't know. But I do want to mention, because you were talking about the Greys, I did see the Greys in one of the Mayan temples on March 21st, 1998. There was the people gathered there at the Chichen Itza pyramid for the spring equinox.
Mm-hmm.
And they come that day because it has the snake goes down the side of the temple, and when the sun hits at equinox, it shows the serpent. And so I was there that day, and there's thousands of people there, and that day they don't allow anybody going climbing on the pyramid. And I go, wait a minute, this is my first time here. I'm gonna go in this doorway behind the steps of the pyramid. They had it all blocked off. I could have gone to jail, but I snuck in there. I said to this girl, watch my back. I'm going in. She goes, I literally disappeared. She said, I walked into this room inside the pyramid, and it was pitch dark. But I could still see, you know, up the stairway, and I started climbing the stairway up the middle of the pyramid, and six Greys came running down and says, in telepathy kind of form, we talked. He said, you can't be in here. You got to go. They were more fearful than I was. I said, don't worry, I'm leaving, okay, you know, and there was six Greys and one pink one. I don't know what that means, but I remember there was a pink one, and they were, like, very afraid that I was in there.
I wonder why. Do you think they were they afraid because there's something that takes place inside this pyramid?
So they were doing something that I don't know, some kind of maybe activation and more things that we don't know about. Like, you know, at that time, it was a very powerful time. And they have up the stairway is an altar with a jaguar. And so obviously they didn't want me to see something. They didn't want me to go any further than where I went, maybe about six steps up this pyramid, which is, I don't even know, maybe another 50 or 60 or 100 steps, I don't even remember. Probably about 44 or something like that, more steps to go. And then and they said, no, you can't be in here. You got to go. You got to leave. And they were just like almost going in circles because they were, like, you know, trying to get rid of me. They weren't violent at all, but they, you know, pretty much backed me out of there. So.
And what effect did that have on you? Did it frighten you?
No, I am not in fear. I just said, okay, well, they're hiding something in there. That's all I said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's pretty much, you know.
Have you come to any conclusions about what they were hiding?
Nope. I just know it was something. You know, because they usually have people can go in that into that room in the pyramid and climb the pyramid. But that day they shut it down. Just 2 days before the day of the equinox, and 2 days after, they shut it all down because so many thousands of people come. So obviously something is happening very powerful at that time. That's what I picked up. That's all I know. So.
And I've heard of Greys, and then I've heard the media, sort of the sappy-minded media, talk about little green men. They invented those. But this is the first time I've heard about a pink one.
Yeah. And I asked a few people about that, and one person that kind of resonated was, well, if when they come down to the planet, they they could be pink originally, and then since they're, I can't think of the word, but like programming or whatever, and they come to their planet, they might be turning gray, and that pink one might have just came in. I don't know that, but that was what a friend of mine said that kind of resonated with me, and he knows a lot about being a the aliens and stuff like that. But and they were, and when I tuned into their energy, you could tell they didn't know, they were kind of programmed.
All right, this show is kind of programmed too, and the break is taking over, so we'll have to step away for a few minutes. We'll be back with Thunderbeat right after this. All right, we are back. We have just a few minutes left. Time for one, maybe two, quick calls. Telephone number is 623-444-5889 or toll free at 888-223-4599. And if you're going to call, now's the time. Well, there we go. There's a call right there. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kevin, it's Mike from Kentucky.
Hi, Mike.
I'm doing
Hi,
well
Mike.
Tonight, Kevin. How are y'all doing?
Super.
Great.
Good. You know, I've never had the opportunity to go to Egypt, even though I belong to a fraternal order that is based in Egypt. And I took some psychic initiations within the Great Pyramid from a home sanctum. And I had the experience of standing on the threshold, and you have to step out in faith and into this abyss to see if you can get to the other side. Sort of like in the Indiana Jones movie where they did that. And to my surprise, when I stepped out, I didn't fall. I just stepped out onto something I couldn't see. But I know about the energy and everything that you're talking about, and it's amazing when one experiences such a thing.
Yes. Yeah, they're definitely ascension chambers. That was the first time I went to Egypt. I had the opportunity to have the Great Pyramid overnight. I was in there, and actually that's where my chakra CD information came from, was from being overnight in the Great Pyramid. And it was definitely, there's no such thing as time in there, and it's definitely an ascension chamber. It's just beautiful.
Well,
my favorite pyramid actually is the Middle Pyramid. That is the Stargate.
Yes. I know
that
do you know William Henry?
William Henry, no.
He does some teachings on the Stargate. And Kevin, haven't you had William on your show?
If I have, it's been a long time ago. And it seems like I have, but I'm an old guy. I don't remember.
You're so funny.
Yeah, you and I are in the same boat, Kevin. Maybe you again in the future you can have William, because he talks all about this Stargate and all of this, the wormholes, and it's great.
All right.
Fantastic stuff.
Mike, thanks for the call.
See you later.
All right.
Thanks.
Okay, folks, the telephone is open, and if you call right now, we have time to take your call. If you wait until we've got like 2 minutes left in the show, ain't happening, because we won't have time to hear you and then to respond. But the telephone number is 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. Almost all of the shows that people do about the pyramids, they deal with the Great Pyramid. And you're saying that the more interesting one is the middle one, which is a Stargate.
Absolutely. That is the Stargate. I mean, that place, it's a long story short. I went in there, and we were only going to stay for maybe 15, 20 minutes, and I did a meditation, sound healing, toning meditation in the Queen's Chamber, and we went by horseback, and so the guy was holding our horses in outside. We said, he goes, not to be long, and I said, only 15, 20 minutes. We were in there, and we thought we were in there about 15, 20 minutes, and we started toning, and all these other voices started coming in, toning with us at a higher frequency. Like, we were going woo, and they were going woo. We were very, very high. I can't even sing it. It was so high. And we came out. We thought we were in there for maybe 15, 20 minutes, and the guy starts screaming at us, saying, "You were in there 2.5 hours. And I'm like, what? We both looked, it was me and this other girl, we both looked at each other going, what? No way were we in there for, you know, that long a time. And we looked at the clock, and we totally lost time. And while we were in there, there was a Japanese group coming in, taking pictures of us, and they were going like 100 miles an hour, like when you speed up a camera.
Mm-hmm.
We saw them, and they were going in and out, and like really sped up. And so it's definitely a shift that definitely happened while we were in there.
Do you think they could see you?
Pardon?
This Japanese group that came in, you were seeing them all sped up.
Right.
That would indicate they were seeing you all slowed down, but maybe they didn't see you at all.
They were taking pictures of us.
Ah.
So I know they saw us. And we were, but we were in a meditative state. We were pretty still anyway. But they were, all I can say is they were going like when you speed up a camera on fast motion. That's what they look like coming in and out like super fast.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't feel any shift or any different or anything like that. You know, a time shift of some sort happened, and we knew that after we got out when the guy started yelling at us.
Yeah. Okay, we've only got, about 4 minutes left, and I really want to talk about the, about 2.5 minutes. I want to wrap up by talking about your upcoming conference or workshop.
Workshop, yeah.
This is going to be in October.
The next one is October 2nd, 3rd, and 4th.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one after that on November. That's the last one of the year, the 13th, 14th, and 15th of November. And that is the Chakra Sound Healing Workshop Retreat. It's 3 days, all day. And then plus we have a beautiful drumming ceremony and on the land and a vortex. I'll be showing and experiencing vortexes for people. So,
mm-hmm.
So that'd be a lot of fun.
What do people experience?
My music through kevinsmithshow.com, right? You can go to my website through there.
Yeah, but tell us the web address.
It's thunderbeat.com.
Pretty easy.
That is pretty easy. Thunderbeat.com, and you can sample pretty much every CD, all my music on that site.
The music that people have been hearing, especially, you know, on the radio feed, a lot of the music that you've been hearing during the breaks tonight is Thunderbeat, and that you've been experiencing music.
Some of
that,
it.
it's you've been experiencing it, music that is on her website. So if you want to get it all, you want to hear it all, go hear all the samples. And you can purchase the CDs there as well, thunderbeat.com. Okay, now, at this upcoming workshop, you're going to do this, people will get to experience a vortex. What do people experience? What happens to them when they experience a vortex?
Well, it's pretty different for everybody. But, you know, most people will feel the swirling energy. It's pretty intense. A swirling energy that will fit. And then if you're in there, everybody receives some kind of information or transformation, actually, especially when you do ceremony. When ceremony just activates it and with the sage and everything, something special really happens. And it's very, very energizing and very enlightening. So.
Okay, when a person comes to one of these, does this happen for virtually everyone that's there, or do you have to be sort of already a believer in these vortexes?
It is different for everybody, but so far everyone has felt the energy. So, you know, whatever level they're on.
Okay. I want you, if you will, just stay on the phone with me for a moment, and I want to talk with you after we close the show, but I also want to thank you for being here. It's been fascinating, I promise you. All right, folks, that's a wrap for this evening. I hope you've enjoyed it. It's been informative and interesting, and that's what this is all about. Okay, it's time for me to say that my friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.